Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church. This service is a recording from February 18th, 2018, with guest pastor Mary Merton, entitled Covenant with God.
Good morning. Hi. I'm very glad to be with you today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mary Merton, and I'm really retired. Once in a while, I stop by to have a little fun with the Avon Church. And we have another treat today. My good friend, the Reverend Paul Robinson, is here, and his lovely wife, Ellie. So we've got double trouble. We always said if he and I ever served a church, it would be constant laughter all the time. So, yes.
And their director, Cynthia Towler, they're blessing us with some beautiful music. You're getting a little preview of The Sound of Music, which is opening in a little less than 3 weeks now. So welcome, and thank you so much for coming.
We're all glad to be together this morning and have a good time. I also would like to welcome those who are going to hear this on the radio. Welcome to everyone on this day. And now let us join together and sing our song. Come, Christians, join to sing.
Scripture reading this morning is from Psalms chapter 25, verses 1 through 10. I offer you my heart, Lord God, and I trust you. Don't make me ashamed or let enemies defeat me. Don't disappoint any of your worshipers, but disappoint all deceitful liars. Show me your paths and teach me to follow. Guide me by your truth and instruct me. You keep me safe, and I always trust you. Please, Lord, remember, you have always been patient and kind. Forget each wrong I did when I was young. Show how truly kind you are and remember me. You are honest and merciful, and you teach sinners how to follow your path. You lead humble people to do what is right and to stay on your path. In everything you do, you are kind and faithful to everyone who keeps our agreement with you. And the second reading is from Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Again, God said to Noah and his sons, I am going to make a solemn promise to you and to everyone who will live after you. This includes the birds and the animals that come out of the boat. I promise every living creature that the earth and those living on it will never again be destroyed by a flood. The rainbow that I have put in the sky will be my sign to you and to every living creature on earth. It will remind you that I will keep this promise forever. When I send clouds over the earth and a rainbow appears in the sky, I will remember my promise to you and to all other living creatures. Never again will I let floodwaters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the sky, I will always remember the promise that I have made to every living creature. The rainbow will be the sign of that solemn promise. God's word for God's people.
We come to our time of sharing our prayers. Let us pray. Merciful, loving God, what a gentle and healing balm it is to come to you with our secret thoughts, our sad discouragements, and our noblest dreams, and find you right here to listen, to forgive, and to renew us. We confess our reluctance to understand your will and our hesitancy to act upon it. We are quick to blame others and slow to accept responsibility for ourselves. We wish for signs of your power even while we take for granted the beauty and love with which you surround us. We desire some guarantee of your favor, and at the same time shudder to think about the suffering of the cross and what it portends for us and for our world. Submerge us in your spirit, God, and grant us faith to perceive good arising from evil and to sense your immediate presence within the solitude of endless space. Help us to use this Lenten time to renew our covenant with you and guide us to refresh ourselves in your care. We pray this day for all those who suffer in any way, all who are discouraged, all who need a special touch for any reason, and all that we have named before you this morning, both by thought and by prayer. We now lift to you all that is on our hearts as we pray in the way that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Good morning. As the girls are getting into position, I want to thank you all for allowing us to celebrate this first Sunday in Lent with you, sharing some of the tunes from The Sound of Music. We all think of Julie Andrews and the mountains and the hills are alive with the sound of music and Do Re Mi and the lonely goat herd and Edelweiss. But that's only part of the story. It is a true story of the Trapp family as they emigrated from their homeland, Austria, through Italy to Great Britain, and finally to the United States and made their home in Stowe, Vermont, where some of the family still lives. But it all began with a young girl, Maria Augusta, who entered the convent at Nürnberg in Austria. And the musical show on Broadway begins and ends with the women singing from Nürnberg Abbey. The first thing that they will sing are the morning prayers. The bells have called them to chapel from their morning chores, and they start first with singing a combination of Psalm 109 and 110, which is very appropriate that the authors set this psalm because of the year 1938, when Austria was on the verge of being annexed into the German territory. The psalm goes like this. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall drink of the brook on the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And then it goes into the morning prayer. O Jesus, King most wonderful, thou conqueror renowned, thou sweetness most ineffable, indescribable, in whom all joys are found. And then praise be to God the Lord.
Dixit Dominus Domino.
Thank you so much. That was lovely. But it's always hard to follow children, especially youth that sing so beautifully. When my oldest daughter was 13, she wanted her side of the large bedroom that my girls shared to be painted a bright orange with a swirl of purple and yellow and lighter orange in the middle of the wall. This was the 1970s, girls, that's why. And this swirl resembled a large rainbow. My younger daughter wanted her side of that same room to be papered, the design being small white forget-me-nots in small clusters with dainty green leaves bordering each cluster. I made a covenant, an agreement with each daughter that I would do what they wanted, but their part of the covenant was to keep each part of their room neat and orderly. Well, it worked for the younger daughter. But soon the older daughter forgot about the covenant and needed to be reminded fairly constantly. Covenants are tough. We need reminding, and the Lenten season is a good time to be part of that reminder. Abraham and Sarah made a covenant with God to be God's people and part of God's plan for humanity. And God would be their God and love them and make them prosper. Moses made a covenant with God and came back from that mountain with the tablets to show folks how to live out their covenant. Today we call that covenant the Ten Commandments. Not the Ten Suggestions, the Ten Commandments. On and on, down through the ages, covenants have been made, and folks have difficulty keeping these promises. We are reminded that we are not alone in this, that it's human nature. Now, in the United Methodist Church, we often talk about John Wesley. He was our founder, the one who began the United Methodist Church. And he wrote down some ideas about covenant for us. Let me read just a part of the Wesley covenant. And I quote, "Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal. Christ will be the Savior of none but his servants. He is the source of all salvation to those who obey. Christ will have no servants except by consent. Christ will not accept anything except full consent to all that he requires. Christ will be all in all, or he will be nothing. Confirm this by a holy covenant." End quote. It goes on, that's just a little piece of it. It goes on with instructions about how to keep this covenant. Yes, the instructions are still good for us, even today, even though they were written about 200 years ago. They are still possible to keep. They are still effective in our walk with God and help us when we fall down and forget our promises to God. It is good to focus on this covenant and in covenant making in this Lenten season. So as we come to worship this first Sunday in Lent, I want to ask all of you, how are you doing with your own response to the covenant you made with God? Is there a block in your relationship to God? What is that block? What do you need to kind of jumpstart that covenant? Or have you even thought about it? Well, I know this past week, Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day came on the same day, and we might have missed the effectiveness of beginning the Lenten season because of Valentine's Day. Yes, I believe that love is a part of an effective Lent, so celebrating our earthly love for those that we live with and those that we have other kinds of covenant with is important. But what about our relationship with God? I find that I need to take time to ask myself these questions at the beginning of each new season of the church. And the Lenten season is a quieter time for me. It's a reflective time to look at all the blocks in my life. What separates me from closeness to God? Those of you who have heard me preach during Lent before have heard me say that in the past, my idea of Lent is not necessarily to give something up, unless that something is blocking God, but to give something more of myself. I want to be honest with myself, and in some way, I need to ask myself these important questions about what's blocking in my relationship with God? Am I being selfish in some way? How am I living out the Christian life as I see it? Where am I spending my time and energy? I recently read that our faith and beliefs are one thing, but where we put our feet and our energy tells others what we really believe. So where are my feet going? What am I doing for myself and for others? Often I find that I do for others pretty well, but I don't do much for myself. Somebody called me on that this morning. And that often makes me grumpy and hard to live with. And if you don't believe me, ask my children, they'll tell you, or even my grandchildren. As I read on in John Wesley's instructions, I see that Wesley has some tried and true helps for us all. He says that in order to keep our covenant, we need to do a few things. First, we need to set apart some time, more than once, to be spent alone with the Lord, seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of us. We need to carefully think through all the conditions of the covenant, searching our hearts, whether or not we have fully given our life to Christ. Wow, that's pretty serious, isn't it? I do fairly well with the setting aside time apart each day, but do I search my heart? I don't know, but it gives me pause to think about that. Being serious with God is essential, since God knows what is in our hearts already, right? Do we know what is in our hearts? Lent is a good time to find that out. John Wesley goes on to say that secondly, we must be serious and in a spirit of holy awe and reverence. What does that mean? Probably to sit a minute without the television playing or without some other distraction, like cell phones, don't you think? It's difficult to find quiet in our society. This was brought to my attention this past week when my son and his wife were visiting for a few days, and my daughter-in-law accused me of being too quiet, since I don't have the TV on during the day much at all. Yes, be serious about having a time of holy awe and reverence, whatever that means to you. Thirdly, says Reverend Wesley, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving grace and strength so you can keep your promise. Trust not your own strength and power. This is important. We are not alone in this covenant business. God has said, "You are my people, and I will be with you, giving you strength and power." Not just on days that you are hurting or stressed out, but every day, even when things are going well. Rely on me, says God, all the time. Fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given the Lord your hearts, you have opened your mouth to the Lord, and you have dedicated yourself to God. With God's power, never go back. And last, be prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. I believe that is really what we need, is to take time to look at our covenant with God and renew it on a regular basis. Therefore, I would like to ask you to take that United Methodist hymnal that's in front of you and turn to page 607. You will see at the top a covenant prayer in the Wesleyan tradition. And I would like us to read that together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine,
so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.
And I would suggest that each Sunday when you enter the sanctuary, you might turn to this prayer to remind yourself of this covenant. Hopefully, this will encourage you to give more of yourself to God in this Lenten season. So let us just pause for a few moments of silence. Amen.
Been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.